I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show, a centerpiece of the Arab Spring, a centerpiece of large social events these last months, is Twitter. That's right. The strange name of a San Francisco company is at the center of the story of transformation of one-third of the world, a billion people in the Ummah. Twitter. It didn't come from the Arab Spring, but it is extremely convenient and very powerful. Now, a lot of people get in trouble with Twitter. There's a lot of news about Twitter when famous politicians or actors or personalities use Twitter in some untoward or clever fashion. What is Twitter? If you use it, you'll want to learn more. And if you don't use it, Amir Efrati, who reports for the Wall Street Journal, is here to talk about this growing company, 200 million registered accounts. But I learned from Amir that the company doesn't quite know who's using it and where they are, hasn't yet monetized. To my knowledge, it's not an IPO. And there's a new cousin, TweetDeck, that I assumed stupidly was developed by Twitter. No, it's a separate company entirely. Amir, a very good evening to you. Let's start with Twitter itself. 200 million registered accounts. Do they have any way to know who's active and who's not?
They do. The company does not report out how many of those more than 200 million accounts are active. And one of the problems that they're facing is appealing to mainstream users, in particular mainstream Americans. If you ask a lot of people, what is Twitter, they don't really have a good way to give you an answer. A lot of people think it's just a place for celebrities to go online and vent.
Right.
But what Twitter wants people to know is that there is huge value and lots of really interesting information on the service. For example, yesterday there was an earthquake in the Bay Area, a very small one. A lot of people felt, you know, their buildings shake, their desks shake. Where did I learn about it first? I learned about it first on Twitter. There are lots of organizations, lots of politicians, lots of interesting people linking to different articles, saying interesting things, having interesting conversations on this service. Twitter wants to make that clear and apparent to new users so that when they come on the site, they don't leave immediately, which a lot of people do, just anecdotally, you hear. So Twitter really wants to appeal to mainstream people to attract more and more users. That's their number one goal this year.
Well, you and I are professional journalists, and I guess that makes us not mainstream. But what the heck? We're in the news all the time, and Twitter is an enormously useful tool to follow stories. For example, Steve Herman is the Voice of America bureau chief in Asia, and he's based in Seoul, but he's been traveling back and forth to Tokyo during the crisis. I follow him in the evenings, East Coast time, which is daytime in Japan, as he proceeded from Tokyo north into Fukushima Prefecture. He was filing every moment that he came across something interesting or important news, not always linked to a URL, sometimes just a comment. So it was in real time following him as he moved into the radioactive zone. I don't know that Twitter knows about this, but it's, and your example of an earthquake, it's a fascinating and at the same time breaking news useful tool if you know who the source is. And in this instance, I know Steve Herman. So I put it on air as he reported.
Exactly. And so Twitter does know a lot of things about people when they first come to the site. They do know where they're located. A lot of times people will hear about Twitter on television, whether it's on CNN or The Daily Show, and they'll sort of search for things on Twitter once they hear about it. So Twitter does know a little bit when you first come onto the site. And what they want to do is they want to bring up the interesting people that you may be attracted to, such as the example that you just gave. If you came from a Japanese disaster-related website, for example, that linked to somebody's tweet.
Right.
This Twitter knows that you are interested in that person's tweet, so they're going to try to show you interesting things that you might relate to, that you might want to follow. So that's one of the key areas that they want to focus on. That's how they will attempt to really hook people.
Now, they're a four-year-old company, which means they're going through growing pains. It's enormously useful. It's limited to 140 characters, which is no particular limitation. And recently, there's been an add-on at TweetDeck that allows you to go longer, and we'll speak about that in a moment. But right now, Jack Dorsey, I want to mention him because he's featured in your story. He was one of the founders. He left the board, and now he's back. What does Dorsey represent to Twitter?
So Dorsey invented the concept of Twitter, which he's had for a very, very long time. Everyone acknowledges that. There was there's been quite a bit of turmoil in recent years at this company. He was the CEO, the founding CEO of this company, and there was some criticism about how he managed people. The board asked him to leave, basically pushed him out. He stayed on the board, but he was not really engaged for a long time, while another fellow, Evan Williams, ran this company. And during the past couple of years, this company has had to focus a lot of its energy on just keeping the site alive. There had been so much interest and so many people tweeting on this service and using this service that it crashed a lot.
Right.
And that was a big problem. People know the fail whale, right, the symbol that comes up when the site's down.
Right.
So they had to focus a lot of their energy on dealing with that. And in the meantime, they didn't do a ton to communicate with mainstream internet users about how useful this service could be. You kind of need a tutorial almost to even figure out how to use this thing. It's not intuitive, right? So now this person, Evan Williams, who led the company after Jack Dorsey left, he has stepped down. In part because he has stepped down, Jack Dorsey has been able to become re-engaged in the company. He's now officially part of the company, leading its product team. And he is working on these initiatives to really broaden the appeal of this service, and also for the longtime users of Twitter to make sure that they are having a better experience than they have in the past. And that includes things like, you know, if you're a Facebook user right now, for example, there's something called the news feed. So when you sign on to Facebook, you see the top news stories or the top issues and things that your friends in your social network are writing about. Twitter wants to do something similar, where when, you know, if you're a user of Twitter, you'll see the most relevant, the most interesting, the hottest topics among the people that you track, among the people that you follow on the service. So that's another big problem that they're trying to solve.
Let's talk of TweetDeck. I thought it was a cousin. It turns out it's not even a relative. It's another company entirely. The chief executive is Ian Dodsworth. TweetDeck is enormously useful. I put the whole I got a second Mac so I could just park the TweetDeck over there. Now, I understand you and I are professionals, and therefore this isn't for don't try this at home. But TweetDeck allows you to track five or six or seven people at the same time and just park Sirius, hashmark Syria or hashmark Libya, and it fires in Arabic and English all the time. I'm following a war through TweetDeck. It's fascinating. I can't confirm the information, but I see the flow. And TweetDeck isn't yet attached to Twitter. I think the first thing these companies have to do is get together, and are they going to do that?
That's the question. So one of the things we reported yesterday is on talks that Twitter is having with TweetDeck to potentially purchase the company for somewhere around $50 million. That's a bit of a fluid situation. That's what's so interesting about Twitter is that it's what people call a platform around here. It's not a product. It's not a product for consumers. It's a platform. And what that means is that it's just this fire hose of information that other companies build on top of. So you have TweetDeck that helps people organize and make sense of all the information that's on Twitter, and there are tons of these companies, and so Twitter has to sort of figure out exactly how it's going to evolve. Does it want to stay that way? Does it want to stay as a company that lets other companies build on top of it, or does it want to take more control of the end user experience, of the way people actually experience Twitter? But this ties into part of the problem with Twitter is that how are you supposed to know that you're supposed to download TweetDeck and use TweetDeck for Twitter? People just go on to Twitter.com and think that's the way to experience Twitter, when in fact that's one of the least interesting ways to experience Twitter.
Oh, once you've written TweetDeck, you don't go back to Twitter. You just put it all together and you follow TweetDeck because of the enormous the wave of information that comes.
Exactly. And this is really confusing to people. People hear about Twitter all the time, but it's just such a confusing concept. And again, the whole point is there is plenty of value. There's a lot of valuable information that's coming out that people are posting on this service. And it's a matter of communicating that information to regular people so that they know that it's there and so that they might want to go check it and be interested and engaged.
Amir Efrati for The Wall Street Journal on Twitter. That is one company, 4 years old. TweetDeck, that's another company. They're quite compatible. Have fun. But this is the news gathering and the social media and at the same time the revolutionary technology of the 21st century. I'm John Batchelor. This is The John Batchelor Show.